There's a ton of the different ton of different things and verses that have helped me through the years that I'm going to say. So I don't want to go through all those, but there was one person that helped me. He said to me, he'd been in ministry for a number of years. He said and he was talking about pastors, and I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but he says some of the greatest speakers in the world do not always make the greatest pastor, but some of the greatest pastors in the world don't always make the greatest speaker. And that helped me, you know, because I don't consider myself a great speaker per se. God can do anything with anyone's life, but he says that sometimes the speaker isn't always the person that gives their heart and life to the sheep, to the flock, to the shepherd, to the church. And that's what God has called me to do, is pastor a church, not to try to impress people with my talents and abilities, but to try to impress people with God. And that was one of the thoughts that someone helped me with over the years. And there's a lot of different thoughts there. Maybe you have some things that are springing to your mind. People said different quotes or different things to you, or certain verses that have just impacted and changed your life. And today, the title of this morning's message is Total Sacrifice Equals Total Satisfaction. Total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. We live in probably the most, however you want to describe our country. We have so much. We are so plenteous. Other nations dream of coming to our nation because they think everyone here is rich. And when it comes to some of the poor people in our nation, they have many times more than what the rich people do in those other nations. But if you go and you listen to polls, one out of every three people in America say that they are happy and that they are satisfied. How come we can live in a nation that has so much and only a third of the people, and that third might have been lying when they said it, find happiness and satisfaction with their life? And I tell you, in our Christian lives, we can have happiness, we can have satisfaction, we can have victory. And the truth of the matter is, many Christians are part of that two-thirds. Because of dealing with sin, because of dealing with sin for the most part, our willingness not to do what God wants us to do, we become to the point where we become unsatisfied in our life. And so this transforming truth, if you can grab a hold of this morning, total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. You get to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. The word of God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And now here, Paul is speaking to the brethren. He's speaking to someone who is saved, someone who knows Christ as their Savior. And he's speaking by the mercies of God. And he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm here to try to help you this morning. And one of the things that transformed my life and is a transforming truth is when I surrender my complete heart and my complete life over to God, I will find satisfaction. But if the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me, I'm never going to truly be happy until I am willing to surrender myself to God. You think about it. If we want to do something great for God, we will have to allow biblical truths to transform our lives. All the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And when we grab hold of the individual truth that has the power to transform our lives, it does, if we allow it to. Now, so that's what the thought here, and that's what this verse is about, and this is what our series is about. Are we going to let the Bible transform our lives? So you're going to see over the next several weeks just different truths that help change different people's lives. I'll use one verse that God worked in my heart. It says in Job 42:5, it says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. That was one of those verses in my hearts and life that I had heard about God my whole entire life. My mom tells me I was going to church 9 months before I was born, and I have been in church all my life. But Job came to the point where he said at the end of his trials and at the end of all the different things he went through, he says, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eye seeth thee. And I remember the day and time in my life when I got done with just hearing about God. And I wanted to see God work in my life. And that was one of those transforming truths. And one of these weeks, we're going to talk about that. But the first one we're going to look at is total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. You see this word sacrifice. And in this book, it says in Romans chapter 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When you think of the word sacrifice, what do you think of? That's a question for, well, you can think for a minute. What's something that you would consider as a sacrifice? I think about our country's history and how there was many people who gave their lives and shed their blood to be able to sacrifice so we could have freedom today. Anybody can think of something when it comes to sacrifice? Parents. That's good. They sacrifice time, life, energy for their children. Anybody else got a thought? Miss Nancy? That's good. Giving up things for God, being in church. Soldiers, missionaries. Anybody else? Bible example, somebody who sacrificed? Besides Jesus. I mean, obviously he was the greatest sacrifice. What? Peter. Abraham. He gave up his family to go. Peter gave up much to become what God wanted him to do. Anybody else? Paul. That's right. Talents and abilities, all those things. Once again, we consider it a sacrifice. When we get to this idea of a living sacrifice, you come to the spot and you wonder, what does that mean? What is it that God really wants to do in my life? You think about what it says. For first century readers, the word sacrifice come to mind many times, animal sacrifices. This is something that they had known of when it came to Judaism and it came to the learning of what they were supposed to do. I think about sacrifice. Some people, no one mentioned what the Olympians many times do at a young age. Even talked about in China that at the age of sometimes 4, 5, and 6, they see someone has a special talent and they will draft that person to become their future Olympic star. And for the next 10 to 12 years of their lives, they would have to give up pretty much everything to be able to become a master at that certain sport, that certain talent. They would be separated from their parents. They would sacrifice so many things just so they could, for their communistic country, wear a gold medal someday. And that's sacrifice. And it's even something that I think we need to understand when it comes to our Christian life. If we are willing to sacrifice, then this is something that will actually bring satisfaction. The first century readers, the word sacrifice would have called to their mind animal sacrifices. They would think of dead sacrifices, but certainly not of living sacrifices. So when Paul told them to be a living sacrifice, that would have brought questions to their mind as a Christian in the first century. What was Paul referring to as this idea of a living sacrifice? So you see in your outline, there's 2 points underneath what the meaning of its living sacrifice. Let's look at the word living. There is a great depth of meaning to being a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God's commanded that the Hebrews to practice many types, different types of sacrifices. Generally, these sacrifices were dead animals. It was the shedding of the animal's blood that was a foreshadow of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would one day make on the cross. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." And now we don't have a lot of time to look at this, and maybe someday we will. But in Hebrews chapter number 9, it gives us a great example. It talks about that sacrifice. If you want to look in your Bible, you can, or you can listen. It's Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 15. It says, "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, this is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves." See, the blood of goats and calves, they could never, ever satisfy God's payment for sentences. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once," and we're thankful for that, "he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling and the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance." You drop down to verse number 22, and the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." See, there was thousands, probably millions of animals that were sacrificed as a foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, was going to be to us. But in the Bible is saying that this is not the sacrifice that Paul is speaking about. Only once Jesus Christ had sacrificed himself on the cross, he had fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. There was no more need to sacrifice the blood of animals. But what Christ asked us to do was for us to give our lives. This is what the idea of being a living sacrifice, to give our lives to him in obedience as a living sacrifice. Here is my life. I'm going to live it for you, Lord. When we live in the obedience to Christ, we are identifying with his death and living in the power of his resurrection. We are choosing to deny our fleshly desires, instead embracing the desires Christ for us. Miss Nancy said, someone who was willing to give up earthly things to be able to be in God's house. And that's the idea of a living sacrifice. Galatians 2:20 put it this way, I am crucified with Christ. That's a great understanding. That's a transforming truth in itself. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's when we lay down our own pride, our own selves, is when we come to the point we become a living sacrifice. And we allow Christ to live his life through us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is the truth that we're trying to get to this morning? It's the first of all, if we're going to understand what the sacrifice is, a living sacrifice, we need to understand what that is actually means. It's when we say, okay, when I lay down myself and let Christ live his life through me, that is what a living sacrifice is. But that is when we're going to find total satisfaction. See, our flesh tells us something different. Our flesh says we'll find happiness when we have the right amount of money. Our flesh will tell us we'll have happiness when we have the right relationships. If this could change about me, then I'll be happy and then I'll be satisfied. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us in his word that we truly want to find happiness and satisfaction. It comes in giving ourselves to him and with our lives completely. So we see the first word, the living. The second thing is the sacrifice. To present your bodies a living sacrifice is an act of worship. This is what true worship is about. Sacrificing something for someone or something. For example, when we praise the Lord, we are offering him a sacrifice of praise. We see in Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, is that when we take time to praise the Lord. But God doesn't really care as much about what our lips says. God is interested in where our heart is at. Remember in those prophets where it talked about how people would come and with their lips they would flatter the preacher and try to flatter the word, but the Lord, but their hearts were far from them. He called that an abomination. Not every sacrifice is an act of worship, but all worship involves sacrifice. If you truly are going to worship God, it's going to involve sacrifice. It's going to denying yourself, crucifying your flesh, and saying no to it and saying yes to God. By presenting our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, it is truly a worship to God. Right. It would have to mean something to you. It means giving something up if you don't have something. Sacrificing, it's talked about, is when you actually are something for someone or something. That's what a sacrifice is. It's when your flesh says to you, I want you to do this, but I know God wants me to do that. I'm laying that aside. My flesh says I want to stay home and sleep in. Anybody want to sleep in this morning? But if we say, no, I'm going to say no to my flesh and say I'm going to be here. Now, once again, you say, well, is that a living sacrifice for a person who struggles with it? Yes. But to a person who was excited and they got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and said, hey, look, I get to go to church this morning. I'm going to pray for the preacher. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to be excited. My heart be ready. You know, what is a living sacrifice for them is giving in the parts that they struggle with too. Next thing is, let's think about the motivation. It might answer your question a little bit. The motivation of being a living sacrifice. The meaning is, living means it's our body. And in the New Testament believers back then, they would have said, oh, Paul's talking about the animals. No, once Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, no longer did the animals have to be slain. Unfortunately, there is many that still in Israel today slaying animals when they did not need to because they needed to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But the motivation of being a living sacrifice, what is our motivation? Why in the world should I want to be a living sacrifice to God? Why in the world should I say no to my flesh and yes to God? Why should I be willing to leave it all out there for God? Why is it a reasonable service? Well, first thing, sometimes it helps us to understand what something is not so we can truly understand what something is. So here's a couple thoughts of what our motivation is not. First of all, Our motivation is not to gain the approval of Christ. Our motivation is not to gain the approval of Christ. Say, what do you mean? See, God so loved the world. You know, he loved us as sinners. He loves us. The Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And the Bible says in Romans 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Bible over and over tells us that God loves us. We do not have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to try to gain favor of God, to try to gain God's approval. And you would say, okay, if I give my body as a living sacrifice, then God's going to love me more. Now, see, I think we've missed that part. We're not trying to gain approval of God. We've already, one of his children. Yes, God will bless our lives if we live according to his plan, but you cannot be working. And some people are doing this and they're saying, okay, I'm going to church so that way God can give me a raise next week, or I'm going to be here so that way God can answer my prayers. And they keep on working and working and working, and they want God's approval, and they want God to do whatever they want for him. They think of God as a genie in a bottle, but that's not why we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We also do not do it out of obligation. Some people, and so many religions tell you today, you got to work and you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this, and then you'll be able to be a Christian and go to heaven. See, we do not offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, just out of obligation. Now, when you grab a hold of this truth, total surrender will bring total satisfaction in my life, or equal total satisfaction. We'll understand what that woman did when she was crying before Christ and weeping and over his feet. And he says in Luke 7:47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. It's you're going to love God if you understand what he's done for you. If you see that you are a sinner and without Christ, and if you're a Christian, you understand this, that I was without Christ, I was headed to a Christless hell, and Jesus Christ came to this world, he died on the cross to pay my sin payment for me, and because of what he's done, I now have the opportunity to go to heaven, and I have the opportunity to live for him. No longer am I under the bondage of sin. No longer do I have to continue on living the way. I know sometimes people's biggest criticism of what Christianity is all about, they say things like, I don't agree with Christianity because you believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. And some people say, I don't believe that because you think you can go do whatever you want and still be saved. Well, they miss the whole point of what grace is. They miss the whole point of what salvation is. If we trust in Christ as our Savior, there's nothing that can separate us or break that promise of eternal life. But once we are a Christian, we are freed from the power of sin, and we have been freed by the power of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we want to serve him because we love him. Knowing what Christ has done for us causes us to want to please him. As Christians, we believed before that we were in a hopeless battle against sin, trying to fight it on our own strength. We believe that even though we may have fought hard, we are still on our way to a Christless hell. We have had no hope, but when we met Jesus, who in his righteous state took our punishment for us dying on the cross, we believe that we had a debt so great that we could never pay it. But because of his selfless love for us, Jesus Christ died to pay that debt. This is what our motivation is. Our love for him constrains us to say, okay, Lord, since you were willing to give your body for me, since you were willing to do this for me, I am going to do this for you. It's not because of the fact we're obligated to do it. It's not because of the fact that we're trying to gain favor of God. We are living this life according to his plan and his purpose. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The person claiming to be a Christian who uses grace as an excuse doesn't understand what grace is really all about. And a person who is a Christian that thinks that they have a right to sin and do whatever they want, and God is going to be happy and satisfied with that. And that is something that many churches today, these liberal churches that are these community style churches, will say, do whatever you want, live whatever you want, God's going to forgive you anyway, so what's the big deal? And what do you do with Romans 6, 1 and 2? He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace, that grace may abound? The Bible says, God forbid. He said, we shouldn't do that. So why should we offer our body as a living sacrifice? Because what he did for us. Colossians 1:21 says this, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." You know, we were alienated. We were the enemy of God. We were away from God. You know what? But we've been reconciled. This is why we want to serve him. This is why we want to say, "Here's my body, Lord, a sacrifice to you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." These are the reasons why that motivate us to say, "Here's my life, Lord. I'm not going to live it like other people are. Other people are living for themselves. Other people are doing whatever they can to please themselves. But Lord, for you, I'm going to offer my body as a living sacrifice." And that's what Paul was teaching them. That's what Paul was saying, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. "Here's my life, Lord. You live it through, you live your life through me." Think about this. Okay, you're in your house, and your house catches on fire. You're knocked unconscious because of the flames or because of the smoke, probably more than the flames that knock you unconscious. And someone comes in, and he's a friend of yours, and he comes in, and he sees that you're there, and he knows, he goes, he takes you and grabs you, and as he's trying to get you out of the house, a window breaks on him, and something falls on him, and he receives great cuts, and he also receives third-degree burns. But you yourself, because of his kindness and because of his safety, because he wants to cover you up, and he kind of helps you out of the house, and he takes what you would have had if he had never came. Now, what would your relationship be with that person? Would you want to ignore that person? No. Your relationship with that person would change forever. You would want to help that person. You know, he would need skin grafts. His face would never look the same. His body would never look the same because of the third-degree burns. Would you be ashamed of that person? No, that person saved you. That person helped you. And because of that, you would want to spend the rest of your life trying to help that person that did this for you. You know, God did so much more for us. And we should be willing to give our lives as a sacrifice to him. Ephesians 2:4-5 put it this way, "But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ. By grace you are saved." So what is our motivation to be a living sacrifice? He tells us, by the mercies of God. In other words, when we realize the incredible mercy God has shown to us, we feel compelled to offer our lives to him as a living sacrifice. Is only a reasonable response. You say, "Pastor, I still don't get what are you talking about by that. This is what really brings satisfaction." I can tell you in my own life. Remember, these are transforming truths. These are things that caused us and helped us and helped me. I know that I've tried living for myself. I told you I was in church all my life. There's never been a time where I didn't at least go to a church service multiple times in a week, at least not to my knowledge. But I never truly found happiness and satisfaction until I was willing to give my life over to God. So I was willing to offer my life as a living sacrifice and say, "Lord, whatever it is you want," that equaled satisfaction in my life. You can try to find it in booze. You can try to find it in pleasure. You can try to find it in rebellion. You can try to find it in bitterness. You can try to find it and things that are wrong according to the Bible, and sometimes things that are just weights, and sometimes there's really nothing really too particularly wrong with something. But until you realize and understand this transforming truth, and this will transform your life, is when you say, "I'm willing to give my life up for him." That's when we will truly be satisfied. So what is the method of the living sacrifice? We learn about the meaning of it. Oh, I guess where we went. We learn about the meaning of it. There we go. We learn about the meaning of it. We learn about the motivation behind it. So what is the method? How do we do this? You say, "How in the world do I give my life over to God?" The first thing I want you to think about is a specific event. As a specific event. On your piece of paper there, you can write it down if you want to, or you can just think about it in your mind. When were you saved? When was the time in your life that you asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? You say, "I don't remember the date." Well, you probably remember a location. You probably remember a place. You think about it. When was the date that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And mine, I believe, was during the month of April and back in 1983. don't know the exact date, but I could take you to that place even today and say, at that spot is when I felt the conviction of God about my need as a sinner to cry out to Christ to save me from my sins. And I went forward, repenting of the things I was trusting in before, asking God to save me from my soul, save me from my sins. I know there was a time and moment in that. But there was also another day in my life that was just as specific, that was just as significant. Once again, I know salvation is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. But there was another day when God worked in my heart and I surrendered my life to Him. It's when I gave my body up as a living sacrifice to Him. Can you write one of those dates down in your life? I'm not saying you have to, but think in your mind, has there really ever been a moment in your life when you said, Lord, You can have it all? See, there it's a specific thing. It's a specific date. You will not forget it if you have been living your life according to that. And once again, you might not, unless somebody was smart enough to tell you to put it in the front of your Bible. You're not going to remember maybe the actual date. But I can take you to that place when I surrender my life over to Him. See, surrendering your life as a living sacrifice. And that word, it talks about, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. That word present, it gives us a certain word in the Greek that talks about giving it and giving it one time and saying, here it is. Lord, you can have it. Has there been a day and a time in your life? First of all, have you ever been saved? Because you're not going to be able to give your body as a living sacrifice because the Holy Spirit of God doesn't live in you. You don't have the basics of salvation, and you don't have Christ living with you to understand what He's done for you. So you're not going to be able to give your body as a living sacrifice until you're willing to follow His command for us. He's not willing that any of us should perish. He wants all men to repent. He wants all men to accept Him. But that next question is, have you ever given your body over as a living sacrifice? I want to encourage you today. Don't do it because of me, but if the Word of God is speaking to your heart saying, you know what? I've never done that. I need to do that. I need to surrender my life. I have a lot of things in this life that I don't want to give up, but I realize the meaning is a living sacrifice. It means my life. Sacrifice means giving up something, which is what my desires are. I understand the motivation behind it. It's not because I feel obligated because of what Christ did. It's not because I'm trying to gain favor with God by doing it. It's because I've seen what He's done for me, and because what He has done for me has pushed me to the moment at this time and say, I should give my all to Him. It's a specific thing. Not only is it a specific event, it is also a significant event. A significant event. Obviously, the greatest day in our life is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And there are some other significant events that happen in our life. I remember the day when me and my wife got married, and great day. They made us get there really early to take pictures that day. I don't know why. You know, guys, you got to get there early, and you got to get your pictures done first. So why do we got to get our pictures done first? It's going to only take you 20 minutes to get ready. It's going to take us 3 hours to get ready. So we had to get there first. And I remember after we got done getting ready, I was hungry. I didn't have any breakfast. And because I woke up late. Can you believe that, waking up late on your wedding day? And I woke up late. So we went out to McDonald's about a half hour before my wedding, and my brother took me to McDonald's because I was hungry. My wife found out, and she threw a fit. I can't believe he left. I can't believe he's not, you know. So, but that was a significant day in our life. You know why? It's because we committed to one another to offer ourselves to one another, stay ourselves pure. Keep herself away from any other people. It was a significant event. It was a sacrifice in the idea that no longer am I going to pursue after other women or look at women in that way. I'm giving my heart and my life to be able to, together under God, to be able to give a relationship. It's significant when you're willing to give something up, a living sacrifice. I also think about those that enter the military, and I've never have entered the military. I have great respect for those that are in the military, and I think about it, how they give up and they sacrifice. I think about Marines when they go and for 6 months go to a boot camp, and they are making their bodies a living sacrifice to the drill instructor. Here's me. Here's my body. Do whatever you want to it, because you're going to have to listen to that drill instructor. You're going to get up when he tells you to get up. You're going to go to bed when he tells you to go to bed. If he tells you to give him 100 push-ups, I couldn't imagine doing 100 push-ups today. If he tell you to give 100 push-ups, you're going to do whatever you can because you're giving your life, your body over to that drill instructor to do what he wants with. You know what? So much more it means for us to give not only our bodies, but our attitudes, our hearts, our inward desires over to God. But there are some promises that go with it. And I'm not saying, hey, it's something we should all do. We should. The Bible, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But there's some benefit to it. Our motivation is not because of the benefits, but it does help to understand what we get out of it. First, the Bible says the Lord will be with you the whole entire time. It says in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So the first thing you got to remember is that if we're going to surrender and live our lives as a living sacrifice, he's going to be with us the whole time. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave nor forsake thee. Another thing that you can remember that is a benefit, and I even put that verse up on the board, is the devil will flee from you if you resist him. And we talked about this on Wednesday night because we were in that passage of scripture about 1 Peter 5:8. And we talked about how we try to fight against the devil, how we resist the devil, and how it seems like it doesn't work. And remember, it says it right here at the beginning, submit yourselves therefore to God. You got to start off by saying, Lord, here's my body. It's a living sacrifice. I'm going to submit to you my life. Now, when I resist the devil, he's going to flee from you. We first got to be willing to submit our hearts and our lives over to God before we are ever going to be able to fight that good fight against the devil, be able to resist the devil. It starts by submitting. And then it says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. The next thing is the Lord will always provide a way for you to be victorious over any temptations. I know this is something that is hard for some people to get and understand, but by presenting our body as a living sacrifice, we are staying close to God, and he will show us and teach us how we can be overcome temptation. There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful. I'm thankful he's faithful in so many areas. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying as giving your body as a living sacrifice is something like you're going to have to be a full-time preacher. I don't think he's calling any of you ladies to be a full-time preacher. Amen. But at the same time, I'm not saying you have to be a school teacher or a missionary, married to one of those. It doesn't matter to me what God has called you to do. Doing something great with your life is finding out God's will and then doing it. But it's giving of yourself. I want to live my life in obedience to you. I'm willing to do anything you call me to do, wherever you want me to be. One last thought, and we'll close up so you guys, that it's conclusion. The Christian can find true satisfaction in life by being surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Total sacrifice brings total satisfaction. When we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God Almighty, we have no reason to be worried, no reason to be depressed, no reason to be discouraged. God is able to take care of any situation in our lives. And if we surrender to him, he can take our lives and use the surrender to make us come through these trials as gold. I tell you, one of the greatest transforming truths in our lives is when we understand that total sacrifice is going to equal total satisfaction. When we do that, we give God all our trials, we give God all our worries, we give God all our discouragements and say, Lord, I'm doing the best I can for you. The rest is up to you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.